Thank you.
Morning news. Anthony?
Well, good evening, everybody. So good to see you here tonight, and some visitors too. Welcome. Just a privilege to have Dr. Franco and Emmanuel here, and this morning he shared his testimony and a lot of his life story and the work that they're doing there, and that will be on our website. If you'd like to see it, it's oceansidechurch.ca. It's very easy to go to it, and we'll put that up on the front page. And so without further ado, I'd like to introduce you again to some of you that don't know Dr. Franco. And just from our side as a church, it's something that we've really been praying into for a long time, and my wife and I, on finding legitimate partners that we can partner with in the mission field. And part of the answer to prayer is this man standing next to me, even this morning as you're speaking. It was just such a, I was so excited, spent the afternoon with him, talking and laughing and getting to know him a little bit better. And so what we want to do, and our vision is to do one or two projects well. We said that this morning. I just want to reiterate that. And work with people that with a similar heart as us. And I really feel that that is Dr. Frank is an answer to prayer. And we'll, as a leadership team, will be praying into this as his team will be praying. Because the partnership is two-way. It's not us coming to tell them what to do. It's for us to come side by side, learn from them, and support what they're doing there. So, Dr. Franco, thank you so much.
Thank
for
you,
coming
Pastor.
Tonight. Tonight will be a time for questions and answers, and one of them from this morning, which has been, if I've been asked this question once today, I've been asked it many times, is when can we go? So he will give you all those details.
Thank you. Thank you, Pastor. Thank you so much. Thank you for having me. And this is, again, a privilege and a blessing to get to know you. Thank you, Pastor Mike. And I thank Robert and Cheryl, and I thank also Mano, who make the trip from Abbotsford to come here. And tonight, I am especially happy to see Michael. And Mano, Michael, we all come from the same orphanage. Obviously, I'm older than them, but we came from the same place. And this year, it was a ministerial trip, but it was also a treat for me to get to visit this beautiful place. I was so happy, and I think that we all here, sitting here, we have a good reason to thank God for what he has done and for such a beautiful place that you have here. And I said this morning, and I want to say it again, should I know earlier when I was moving to Canada, I would not go to Quebec, I would come here. But I didn't know, and God has ordained it for me to spend at least 10 years of my life in Quebec, and I love it. And you know, in God's economy, everything he does it for a purpose. So I thank God for that. So I'm so happy you come, and I'm so happy to share with you the vision tonight. I'm going to, for those people who were not here this morning, I just would like to give a brief testimony of who I am, where I come from, but most importantly, where I want to go. And it is important in your life to know where you're from. Unless you know where you're from, you might not know where you want to go. And God has given me a chance to be who I am today. And that's why I am not ashamed of the gospel. And I'm not ashamed of God's goodness in my life. Growing up, early, I was not yet even born, I was rejected. My mom, after some conflict with my dad, and my dad decided to walk away. And at an early age of the pregnancy, I did not have a father. And my mom decided that she was not going to keep me. And she told me that she did everything that she could so she could abort me. But you know, sometime when you come to live, you will live. So after all she has done, she could not get rid of me. Finally, my grandparents get intervened into it, and then they literally tell mom, if you don't need this baby, whenever you give birth to this baby, at that time, there was no sonography to know if it was going to be a boy or girl, but whatever it is, when you give birth to it, you can give it to us. So that's how I got born, rejected first by my father, secondly by my mom, and I was my grandfather took me, and I went to the mountain. From the mountain, I lived there for the next 9 years and a half of my life. And of course, we grew there in the mountain without any access to school, any access to education. You just run in the mountain, going to the river, taking care of the goats, etc., etc. And for me, it was like done. No hope, nothing, with no education. And then my grandparents also, they were deep voodoo practitioner. So that's all I knew from 0 to 9, 9 and a half years old. That's all I knew, voodoo and nothing. And for those of you who have a little idea about voodoo, you don't have a better qualification to be a voodoo priest. More ignorant you are, better voodoo priest you are. So I was prepared, but God had another plan. So the second thing that was going to happen into my life is when my grandpa and my grandma was going, they died. My grandma died first, and 1 year after, my grandpa died. And again, I found myself now in the mountain with nobody, nothing. And some of the people in this neighborhood took me and brought me back to the town, to my mom, my biologic mom. And that's at that time that my biologic mom took me to the orphanage. And God has blessed a lady. Her name is Mom Workman. And at that time, she came in the very neighborhood where I was and established the school and the orphanage. And my mom took me there to the gate and told to Mom Workman, this little boy, if there is anything good you can do with him, you can take him. So I have been given again. And to a lady, she did not speak one word of Creole, and I didn't speak any English. But I can understand, she make me sign, you can come. And that was the beginning of a new adventure, the beginning of something great that I didn't know. And she took me in, she loved me, and she told me that I'm going to be for you a mom. I'm going to be for you the person that you really wanted, and I will love you, and I will care for you, and I will provide for you. And she took me in, and by her love and by everything she could, she gave me an education. She hired private teachers for me. And even at 10 years old, I never went to school before, but I knew how to count, and I knew at least to count oranges and whatever, sugar cane and mango, whatever. So I have some basic knowledge. And I took school seriously. And mom, they was there to help me, to encourage me. And that's how I was able to go to school and to go as fast as I can, because mom was able to provide a private teacher for me. And that's how, to make a long story short, I was able to complete elementary school. I completed elementary school within 3 years. Not even ask me how I did it, but I had the private teacher and I could go as fast as I can. And mom was there, not only feeding me, but also praying over me. You know, through God, all things are beautiful, all things are possible. So I remember she used to pray over me, encourage me, and then always tell me, you can do it, you can do it. And those words like were for me very important, and each time I heard her saying that you can do it, that just stimulated me. I can do it. And so I grew up with this attitude: all things are possible with Christ, and I can do everything through Christ who strengthened me. So at the age of 10 going to 11 years old, I accept Jesus for my Lord and Savior. And I didn't understand completely what I did, but I remember that I said, you know, Mom, I would like to have your God, and I would like to receive, and Mom prayed for me. And that's why sometimes you don't have to understand completely what you're doing, but just do it by obedience, because God is the one who will do everything. So I accept Jesus, and since that time, and also to tell you the truth, I didn't have a choice. I did not have a choice, and Mom had this thing: if you eat my food, you drink my water, you sleep in my house, you will serve my God. So that was the condition. And if it was the condition, so I accept Jesus. But, you know, I didn't fully understand, but it was good, because here is a little boy with no hope, with nothing. And all of a sudden, you find somebody from nowhere caring for you, loving you. And it was not fake love. It was true love. So that's how I grew up in this environment. Mom loved me and cared for me and poured in me all her life and everything that she could. And I took school seriously. So I was able to finish elementary school, going to high school. And let me tell you, it's not because I was an orphan that Mom sent me to the less school. She sent me to the very best school that I can ever go in this time. At that moment, and still in Haiti so far, the Catholic school are the best school. And I remember Mom told me, you will go to this Catholic school because this is the best school. You know, do whatever they ask you to do. But when you come back home, I will teach you the real doctrine, you know. So I go to the school because that was the best. But I knew what to take and what not to take. So I go to this school and grow up. And after that, Mom gave me a chance to go to medical school. And there was a long story. She wanted me to go to Bible school, but I didn't want to go to Bible school. I wanted to become, from early age, I really wanted to become a medical doctor so I can be a missionary doctor, so I can serve my people, so I can help Mom. And I told Mom, I saw you have hundreds of pastors working with you, and you don't have any medical person. Why don't you send me to medical school? And Mom looked at me. She was a little bit mad, but she said, if it's what you want, I'll do it. I want you to know that I will be there for you. So Mom invested in me everything that I ever needed. So I went to medical school, and at that time, we had only one medical school in Haiti. Only one, and everybody wanted to become a doctor. Everybody wanted to get to this school, and they will take 100 students per year, and then you can have 25,000 people registered. And Mom prayed over me again, and I made it. I was 46 among 100 that they accept in this medical school. So God was with me, and I spent the 7 years studying medicine, and after that, I don't know how Mom did it, but I got a scholarship to go to the University of Miami in Florida, where I spent the next 3 years into an internship, a specialty program in infectious diseases. And after that, I kept my word. I flew back to Haiti, and I became this missionary doctor that Mom wanted me. And as I said this morning, there is some specific events that happened into somebody's life. For me, that was when I met my wife. And when I met my wife, I introduced her to Mom. And after some consideration, Mom said that you have proven that you were a faithful man. Now you are married and you are free to go. and you have done your share. And that's how I get married, and I left Haiti, and I came here to Canada, and I established myself with my wife, and I spent 10 years here in Quebec, and I studied and do some other studies. God bless me, I was able to do a specialty in surgery, which I love so much, and I was also able to do special education for children with learning disability at the University of Ottawa, because one of my passion, I wanted to do whatever mom has done for me. Not only helping people with medical needs, but I wanted also to be able to help kids or people or children with some kind of problem to educate them. So I went to at the University of Ottawa, where I was able to do a bachelor degree in education, because I understand at an early age, education, prevention, those things were the most important, especially for the third world. So I was a medical doctor, and I was also able to teach. And everything went very well. And I have my wife, my kids, and until one day God again knocked at my door just to remind me that he has not yet finished with me. I thought that I have done my share. I thought that I have accomplished and get back to God whatever he had given me, but it was not the end. He wanted more from me, and that's how God put into my heart and wants me to go back to Haiti. That was hard, because Haiti being what it is, and it's a heavy decision for me after I had a family. I was working, and my wife was working. We were both in a good profession, making money, and we can do whatever we wanted. And I said in that time, there was no need for me to pray for shoes, for a house. There was no need to pray for a car, because I can afford it. I can buy it. And then God spoke to my heart, you are going back to Haiti, and I'm going to use you in a different way. It was scary in the beginning. And one of my questions was, how am I going to say that to my wife? And it's like, God, what you're telling me is okay, but how I'm going to convince my wife to let me go and to accompany me? But you know, when God wants something, he can do it. So he convinced my wife, and that's how we leave Canada again. I had to compromise for that, and he wanted me to go full-time in Haiti, but with my wife participating into it, and she told me, I will leave Canada. My wife, by the time, loved Canada, and she wanted to make a career here. But she said, listen, we'll make a pact, we'll make a deal. You'll be full-time in Haiti and making back and forth and having your ministry, but at least we will stop in Florida. And that's how we negotiate. We move from Canada to Miami, where I am at 1 hour, 20 minutes from Haiti, where I can be actively present in Haiti. So this is part of who I am, where I come from. And today there is no accident what I am doing, because that's where I come from. God has blessed my life by using somebody, a stranger, that I like to call an angel. Mom Workman represents for me an angel. By the way, she is still alive, and she has 93 years old now, and we usually visit her. I was with her 1 month ago before I come here. She lives in Augusta, Georgia, and she prayed for me. And she said, maybe that was only for you, but I know it's not only you, but should it be only for you? I think it was worth it for me to go to Haiti. And I love her. But what amazed me, look at what God can do with one single woman. Only one single woman. She did not speak the language. She did not know anything about Haiti. And at that time, there was Papa Doc in Haiti. That was the worst dictatorship you can ever have. But she went anyway. And through her, God has touched hundreds of lives. I would say thousands of lives. Tonight, we are three here. Michael is here. He is a living testimony of God's love through mom. Mano is here. And there is other of them. They are here, living here. And in Abbotsford alone, there is more than 70 of us who got adopted. We have children in New Zealand. We have thousands in the United States. We have kids in London. All over the world, this orphanage has produces kids that would not be alive today, or who would be in jail or sold to drug or whatever. But because of the obedience of a woman, because of the obedience of somebody who believed that he does not have to be capable, he just needs to be available. And if she is available, God is the one that will make her capable. And she went. And that's why I know I would probably never be able to get back to God everything that he had poured into my life. But the best I can do, I will do it to please him, to serve him, because I am determined. There is other Franco in the mountains that need to be reached out. There is other Manu, there is other Michael, there is other kids, and they are in the same condition that I am, and God is counting on me to reach them. And the reason that I'm here is also to let you know, by the way, I am your brother that you did not know. And if God is counting on me, that means he is also counting on you, because we belong to the same body. We are brothers and sisters. We have the same father. We have the same destiny. And we are working for the same Lord and Savior. Therefore, my preoccupation is your preoccupation as long as we remain under the Holy Ghost and doing the kingdom's work. And that's the reason that I'm here. I could, and there is so many other details of my testimony, but what I want to make a long story short, don't worry about what happened into your life that you consider as a curse, that happened into your life that you consider as a mess, things that you don't understand and you say, Lord, what's going on? God is able to make all things work beautiful for you as long as you hand it to him. And I didn't know that. I didn't know that God could make something beautiful through an orphanage. And growing up, I feel, I can tell you, when I see that I'm growing up in an orphanage, in the beginning, it was not easy. But you know, that was the path that God has chosen for me to meet with me. And to now I do not regret it. And I am so happy that I went through this channel. I am so happy that God has led me through this, because that's where I learned a lot, and that's where I met God, and that's where I also discovered the destiny that God has reserved for me. Today, I am back, and I have joy in what I'm doing, and whenever I have a chance to bring relief to someone. Surgery is my specialty, and I have an immense joy when I am helping somebody. And whenever God gives me a chance, I give all glory to him. But I believe this is something only God can do. And that's why tonight I really would like you to pray for me, that God will, and it is not only in Haiti. Over the last 2 or 3 years, God has extended my ministry. I was invited to go to Africa, to the west coast of Africa. I'm going soon to the east coast of Africa. I want to give to the Lord whatever he has given to me. And when I'm going there, I just establish clinic. I take care of people. I give. Because one thing is true. To whom much is given, much is required. There was no chance for me that I could become a medical doctor. growing up with no parents, living alone in the mountain, going to school at 10 years old, it was almost impossible. Only God can make it. And after God has done that into my life, I cannot be indifferent. I cannot ignore God's blessing into my life. So that's why I'm so excited. When I was leaving Ottawa to go to Haiti, some of my colleagues and my friends, and they were talking about me like I was crazy. And some of them do like that. And Franco is crazy. Because even some of my Haitian colleagues, they say, it's impossible. You are going to jeopardize your children's future, your wife's future, and you are going to do this. But you know, sometimes people will not understand what God wants you. You only want to be convinced that God is in it. And I used to say, God and I, we form the winning team. If God is in it, it's good. If God is in it, I will succeed. And that's how today I have the joy to do God's work. Is it easy? No. It's not always easy. Sometimes I need to spend time and time in prayer. Sometimes I need to fast. Sometimes I need to sing. And I'm glad also Mom has taught us this, singing and praying. I need to sing and pray because it's not easy. Being involved in Haiti, it is a warfare. It is battle, battlefield. But with God, everything is possible. And when also you get to Haiti, there is so many needs. There is so many things to be done. Sometimes you can feel that you are overwhelmed by every needs. And I know that I wanted to help. But just recently before, I would say with 2 months ago, God gave me a powerful vision that I would like to share with you. I wanted to do so much for Haiti. And one day, it was not a dream. I was sitting and I was praying and I was very concerned and I wanted God to speak to me. And there is an orphanage, there is those kids and lots of responsibility, and it's just a fight. And God gave me a vision. I sat there and I was thinking and I was praying, and then all of a sudden God showed me a boat that is sinking. And as I see the boat going fast into the deep sea, and then God spoke into my heart to tell me, what would you do in such a situation? And I say, well, what can I do? And the boat is sinking. What should I do? And God asked me the same question. What should you do in such a circumstance? And I didn't have an immediate answer. I say, find something maybe to save the boat. Get something. And then there was a period of silence. And that was it. And I get out. I say, What a vision. What does that mean? So I remain in prayer, and God revealed to my heart, when you have such a vision, you can pray and God can reveal to you what it means. You know, God spoke to my heart. The boat you saw sinking is Haiti. And in such a circumstance, I want you to know, when a nation is sinking, you do not try to save the boat. You try to save as many people as you can. And I can tell you that's changed my perspective. I'm not in Haiti to save Haiti. I'm in Haiti to save as many Haitians that I can for God. And that's why I believe that my call is to evangelize as much as I can. Spread the word as much as I can. Get as many people as I can from the boat because the boat is sinking. And I saw also genuine missionaries, and they are wasting a lot of time trying to save their country. You can save the people. You have no guarantee that you'll be able to save the country. I'm not in Haiti to save the political system. I'm not in Haiti to save the government. I'm in Haiti to save as many children that I can, as many adults that I can. And the ministry that we have is just a channel to get to the basic. The basic for me is not the school. The basic for me is not the orphanage. The basic for me is not the clinic. As I said this morning, if I was the best and the very best doctor in the world, and I can see you from a distance and I can heal you, I would find the best therapy for you. And then after that, you will heal. Without the word of God and without the repentance for your sin, you would go to hell healthy. If I had all the food that UNICEF would have and feed you every day and give you the best diet in the world, and you would be well fed, but without the repentance for your sin, you would go to hell well fed. And also, if I had the best school and give you the best education, you would have a very best education, and then you would go to hell. That means the school, the orphanage, the clinic, and all the social aspect of my ministry, they are just a channel. They are just a way for me to get to the very basic. The basic is the Word of God. The basic is for the people to know the Word of God, because the Bible said, they shall know the truth, and the truth shall set them free. You will never have enough food to feed a nation. You will never have enough food to feed all the kids of the world. You will never have enough. But one thing that will always be enough is the Word of God. Who I am today is not the product of all the food that I have eaten in this orphanage. I know some of us, we ate the same food, we go to the same school, but they have not accomplished what I have accomplished. It's because the Word of God has done something into my life. And when I'm out there in Haiti or in Africa, my focus is, of course, whatever I do it well. When I bring to Haiti, I give them the best medical attention that I can. I give them the best medicines that I can. I read. I try to keep my medicines up to date so I can do the best that I can. But my passion is to preach the Word of God, because I have seen it growing up in an orphanage, growing up in Haiti. I have seen people losing their focus, and they are distracted from the reality. The reality as a Christian is to make sure that the people get to God first. Because the Bible said that you shall seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else will be added. Everything else. I read David, and David said that, I was a young man, and now I'm old. I have never seen the righteous forsaken, and I have never seen his children begging for bread. If they have God, don't you know that God will take care of them? And that's why we need to be focused on, make sure that they have the Word of God. Make sure that we preach the gospel. Of course, we will not let them hungry, but that should not be our only focus. If our only focus is to take care of kids and just feed them, then I have news for you. UNICEF is doing a much better job than you do. It's so true. They have more money than you have, and they are doing a much better job than you do. World Vision is doing a much better job than you do, if it was the only thing. But we are not there to compete with them, because we have a much better food to give. We have a much better provision to give. This provision is the Word of God. And that's why my ministry, that's why in Go Haiti, we have a passion for souls. We have a passion for the Word of God. We want them to know the Word of God, and God will do the rest. The nation will be saved when they get to their knees and cry out to God. And that's why you, as God's people, and me, as God's son, we can join hands together and we can make this verse, 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people call by my name, humble themselves and pray and seek my face. If they return from their wicked way, the Bible said that I will answer their prayer, I will forgive their sins, and the next thing and last, I will heal their country. I want a healing for Haiti. And this healing will come through the Word of God. This healing will come when you and I, we stand and we proclaim the Word of God to the people. When we can sit beside our patients and say, you know, I will help you. This is the best treatment. But by the way, I am a Christian. I am a believer. I have another solution. I have something to propose you. Would you like Jesus in your life? And that's what I've been doing in the hospital. Thank God I'm not in Canada. I'm not in the United States. So I can preach the gospel to my patients. Hallelujah. You have so many rules and regulation. You have so many things that stop you to do it. But in Haiti, I can do it. In Africa, I do it. So I take advantage. I do it. So you can be there. And you know, there is no better way. Patients listen to their doctors. They are in such a position. They want something. And they are open to you. And you can lead them. You can influence them for Christ. So tonight, I'm not going to be long because I know so many of you would like to know and have some questions. And I would like briefly to give you an idea how you can be part of this ministry. How you can be a team with me. Because in God's plan, I don't know for how long I will be here. Maybe I'll be flying back. I fly a lot. I go all over. And you never know. But I don't want this ministry to be my ministry. It's God's ministry. Therefore, it is your ministry. So I really would like you to know as much as you can. So, and consider prayerfully what God wants you to do, how you can be part of it. And that's why I wanted to give you some details about how you can be part of this ministry. We have four major areas that we intervene in Go Haiti. The first one is church planting. Our first and our priority is to preach the Word of God and establish churches. So the people can know the word, and the word will do the rest. This is the first thing. So we preach the gospel. We do door-to-door evangelization. We go and seek for the people. We invite them into open-air crusade. We teach them. We do whatever so we can bring the word to them. That's what we do. And we use all kind of methods. We use the way of the master. We use another method. Presenting the gospel within 5 minutes to someone. We use a variety of methods to do that. And we need people who will not be ashamed of the gospel, someone who will stand and share your testimony. And you would say, I don't have a degree in theology. I don't have, I'm not a bishop. I'm not a pastor. I'm not a deacon. I don't know how to do it. I can tell you, you are well prepared just the way you are to present God. Did God has done something in your life? Are you saved? Are you saved? If you saved, you have enough to share with somebody. Just use your testimony. I read in Revelation, they say that they overcome by the word of their testimony. You can preach the gospel by the word of your testimony. You might not be able to stand and give a lecture about the Trinity, about the eschatology. You might not be able to talk about big topics that only bishops can talk about, but you can stand and give a testimony and tell the people, I was dead and today I'm alive. I was a mess and today God has repaired me. I was this, I was that, because no one can stand against your testimony. So you are prepared to go. And I would like you to be on board. The second thing we do, we take care of kids. No wonder I'm taking care of kids. Someone has taken care of me. So I'm very sensitive to a child who is hungry. I'm very sensitive to a child who does not have any opportunity to go to school. And I'm not by myself. Mano also has started school. He was about 10 years old. So you see, it's not a unique case. Hundreds. And let me tell you, we have, again, in Haiti, kids 10, 15 years old who never touched school in their life. Can we do something? Yes, we can do. And that's why the second thing we do, we take care of kids. We feed them. We give them clothes. And we give them the best that we can. The best that we can. And the third things we do, we educate. We send them to school and try to give them the best education that they can have. I told you, Mom sent me to the best school. And at that time, that was Catholic school. So she sent me to the best school because her passion, she said, I am treating you like my own son. In our orphanage, we treat the kids like our own son. When my daughters, they go to Haiti twice a year. When they go to Haiti, they eat the same food that the orphan eats and sleep in the same bed that they sleep. If it's not possible, if my own kids cannot eat the same food that the orphans eat, if they cannot sleep in the same bed that they sleep, there is a problem. And that's why I treat them like my own kids. Like everybody at home, they have access to internet. Amen? They have also a chance. We take them to the beach so they can enjoy life. It's stressful. You know, they want to go to deep sea. But anyway, we take them. We give them the best because they are kids. And guess what? God will pay attention how you treat other people. God will pay attention how you treat your kids and the orphan kids. And that's why we give them the very best that we can. Secondly, not only we give them good education, but also we understand the challenge because at 18 years old, they must leave the orphanage. It's the law in Haiti. At 18 years old, they are adult and they have to leave. That's why we prepare a program from 15 to 18. They are moved to a transitional house where even they will continue their academics, but they have to have a trade. So at 18 years old, they can make a living for themselves. And then finally, I'm a medical doctor, so that's my ministry. I've been running for ministry, Pastor Mike, for years. And until God get me into a corner like he got Jacob and told me, I have not given you medicines instead of ministry. But I have given you medicines for the ministry. Therefore, I understand that my medicines is to serve, and this is a tool that I have. And that's why we have a clinic. We start under a mango tree, as you can see, and then we move into a small place. But let me tell you, with Christ, the sky is the limit. Our dream is to have, in Haiti, the very best hospital that Haiti can ever have. The very best. And I know we have enough skilled people to have that. Amen? In Florida, the Baptist Hospital is the best in the entire Florida area. And they are Christian. We can have one too in Haiti. Amen? The same God in Haiti is the same God in Florida. He is the same God in Nanaimo. He is the same God in Vancouver Island. We can have it too. And that's why we dream big. That's why we believe whatever we will do for the Lord, we will do the best. Because the Bible says whatever God does, He does it wonderfully. And that's why, as representative of Christ, we want to do things marvelously for Christ. Those are the way the ministries that we are carrying on in Haiti. And I am certain all of you here can find a place in this ministry. How many of you, how many men, fathers, women here, how many of you can change a diaper? Good news, you are qualified for ministry. Amen? We have kids, and I can get you tired after one day. You'll change diapers so much, and you will need a break. But you know, I remember growing up in the orphanage, missionaries come and they spend a few hours playing with me. That built me up. Just playing with me, make me laugh. And sometimes they bring frisbee and they play with me. And this is a different day for me. So you can go and play with a child and show the child love. That's something, that's great. So you are qualified to go into mission. And we have carpenters here. We have builders here. We have businessmen here. Because one aspect in our academic and trade school, we are also working on self-sufficiency in Haiti. Because we understand that the handout will not take Haiti forever. You have your own burden here in Canada, in the United States. You will not be able to support forever and ever and ever. A nation should rise and take their destiny. And that's why this ministry, we believe in self-sufficiency. And that's why we are taking step towards it. We are getting involved in farming. God has blessed us with 15 acres, and we have another 60 acres waiting for us. There is a missionary, she just came from Haiti, and God put into her heart to bless us with two big tractors, John Deere tractors, for our farming projects. We have a brother from Abbotsford. They are going, by the way, he is Mano's father, Doug Reimer. They are going to Haiti soon because they're going to build for us one of the best guest houses we can ever have in Haiti. We'll have AC so you don't have to face the heat, okay? You'll have everything. So when you come to Haiti, I can work you to death for the daytime and I can let you sleep at night. God is moving. God is moving, and in a short period of time, this video has not been updated, but God has already provided. Within 2 months, God has provided the $170,000, 3 months, the $170,000, and this property is paid off right now. I'm not here to ask you for $170,000. It's done. Amen. It is done. Look at God. But could you imagine how much more God can do with you? If you are part of it, if you pray and consider how you can be one part of this ministry. So right now, I know I have a short period of time, and one of my weaknesses, I speak too much. So I really would like to open it. Thank you, Pastor. But I'm excited. I love the Lord. God has done a lot to me. And I pray God, I praise God also that He gave me a wonderful wife. I love her. I have 15 years since I married my wife, and she is extremely supportive in my ministry. And she's with me. I praise God. And she allowed me to be here. And she's taking care of the kids in Florida. She does whatever she can and go to Haiti. So I thank God for her. She's not here. I hope one day you'll be able to meet her. She's also in the medical field with me, and I thank God for that. So thank you for having me tonight, and if there is any questions and any way you see that God wants you to be part of it, and if you have a questions, whatever questions, the worst that can happen, I can tell you, I don't know. But you can ask a question, and I would be so happy to answer if I can. Yes? In Haiti right now, not really. I help other organizations, but we do not have any official partnership with other organizations. I work with the hospital, and I share with them extra medicines that we have. When we have medical team coming, if there is any specialty that I know this hospital need, I bring the specialists and they help them. And I work with the Southern Baptist Convention. I went there and helped them, but there is no official partnership. I just share whatever we have with them. It happened this morning. I spoke to a gentleman called Dave, and I saw him right beside you. And this is something that we need. This is something that we need, and I was excited, and that's why I really would like to keep in touch. Amen. Praise God. I will be blessed and highly favored to get connected with you and to provide pure water, not only for the orphanage, but for the entire village. Amen. I would be more than happy. Amen. You know what I'm talking about. You've been in Haiti. Amen. The mosquito and the heat can get you. But, you know, it will be past history because God will bless us with a beautiful guest house. So you'll be able to sleep at night. Is there another question? Whatever question, please. That's the moment I really would like. Yes? Right now we need all school supplies. We don't have a school yet. We send the kids to a private school. But we are working within a year or two. We are hoping to open our own school. And we need all school supplies and books and notebook, whatever you name it. If you go to our website, there is a window where you can see the schooling section. You can get to it, and you will get to Karen Stigliano. She's working with me, and she's the education director. And she will be more than happy to talk to you and to guide you. By the way, we are hoping that within 1 or 2 years, we will have a school. We don't want to open it right now because we don't have the means. But when comes the time, if you heard that we have a school, please know that we have the best school in Haiti. Yes. The best way is to put a team from here because we have also some logistic limitation right now. We are able to receive about 10 people. So we can be very effective. And if you sit down with the leadership of this church, Pastor Mike, Pastor Mark, we can put together a team, and then we will communicate about the date so we can do it properly. Because the worst thing that can ever happen to a missionary is to go there and not feeling that your time has been properly used.
Can I just continue with that? We obviously want to be with this in the long term. And so if we had 50 people that wanted to go, that means we could do slot in 5 trips over time. And there may be people now that aren't financially able to go, but could say in a year's time, and you could start trusting God and so on. So we're working with their schedule to make sure that they're not overwhelmed. But, you know, the soon we will find out what initially what they would like there, and then we'll take it from there. But everybody who wants to go, I believe, will have an opportunity to get there and put their faith out and trust God, whether it's on the first trip or the fifth trip or the tenth trip. And like Frank has said, is not to overwhelm the orphanage. I've been to, done that in Africa, and too many people arrive, and it just sucks too much energy in keeping looking after the volunteers. So, yeah, it's going to be something that we, I believe, will be an ongoing thing that we'll do and we'll continue doing, you know, as long as God leads us to. So.
Amen. Yes. In Haiti, most of the people speak Creole. So if you do not speak Creole, we make sure that we provide translators, people who will be able to translate for you. And or also you pray that God will loose your tongue. We have an intensive English course for the kids inside of the orphanage, and we expose them to English movies and things because we would like them to communicate. And you would be amazed, most of them will be able to communicate with you. We have one laptop, one computer that we're fighting with it, and we do have rooms for more computer because we would like to have a computer lab for them. And CD, we still have room to receive some more. We don't have everything that we need, but from time to time, I bought some. And they get broken, I bought some again. I would like some good documentary CD, Christian movie CD, cartoons, everything. The only thing we kind of limited, we would like things that will educate them more, okay? And we do have place for Nintendo type, but I don't believe that in Haiti with 75% of illiteracy, Nintendo is the best choice. Okay, I'm very practical, and we have an education problem in Haiti. I'm four kids to play, but education is my priority now. So Christian movie, Christian documentary, how to teach children to read, things that will build them up is what we favor now. Okay. And after you. Yes, this orphanage is still in Haiti, but something happened, unfortunately. My mother, the one who is 93 years old now, and for some reason, the people, the new leadership, kind of kick her away from her ministry. And the orphanage is there, but the vision is not the same. Okay, the orphanage has been established immediately after the earthquake. So we are about 2 years old now, and we have about 9 people working with us as full-time workers, and we have 7 benevolent people working with us in the orphanage right now in Haiti. We have 24 kids now. But I should add, it is 24 out of a waiting list of more than 300. We cannot afford to get more because whenever we receive a child, we are responsible for A to Z. And over the course of the years in the ministry, I learned to be very wise. And I wish that I can welcome everybody, but right now we can afford to take care of 24. With God's blessing, we will be able to welcome some more. Part of it. One of God's blessings is to provide people. And here in Nanaimo, God has provided Cheryl and Robert. And now I have Pastor Mike and I have Pastor Mark and I have a variety of people. The best thing is to regroup yourself. And Cheryl, basically, she's working with us, especially in this area. And she will be able to guide you. But let me tell you, we desperately need people. We need people that have skills in the high tech, okay? You can say that you give us one day of your time and you will manage our Twitter account. That would be great. And it's so easy. You can say, you know, I will talk to this child on Skype because they have Skype. They can chat with you, you know. You can teach English from a distance, you know, and you can operate the Christmas account. There's a variety of things you can do. So you get in touch with Cheryl, and she will be able to guide you. Or you go to the website, and you will be straight connected to my secretary, Stephanie. She will be able to help you. We would be happy. My vision, especially with the school, is to give them a very good education. In the orphanage that I grew up, we have learned a lot. But one thing that we surely don't want to continue to do is to prepare the kids with one unique way to get adopted. You do not build a nation when you prepare all the mind of this nation to leave the country. You don't do that. I'm glad that I have not been adopted. I'm glad that I grew up in my own country and then get the education. I leave Haiti, I come here, get my education, and come back. So the self-sufficiency is giving them first, God, that will build them up, and secondly, giving them a good education that they can be competitive to Canada, to United States, or to everywhere. Then they can make a living. I came here, and I didn't have anything to envy to a Canadian in Quebec, and I was able to work at the same speed than every of my colleagues because I had the education that I needed. And that's how we will work. I believe with God and education, someone can make it. And also, we have the project to build trade school. Things that will allow them to make a living. You know, in Haiti, we have basic trade like welding, like plumbing, like carpentries, electricity, masonry, farming. Things that is simple and that will bring quick income. So while they are going up into there, because believe it or not all of them will go to law school. Not all of them will go to medical school. Not all of them will become a mechanic engineer. But all of them can be a carpenter. I know carpenter. They make much more money than a doctor can ever do. I'm telling you the truth. They work good and they make a lot of money. So in the self-sufficiency program, we intend to give them a good trade. And also, we intend to create business. So whenever they have the trade, we can hire them. In the farming section already, I know that I will be able to hire like heavy equipment specialists because we have tractors. So we will need somebody to drive them. We will need somebody who knows a farming knowledge. And we are an island. So we might need somebody who knows how to fish. You know, so this is the idea that I have of the self-sufficiency so they can create a living for themselves and they will not live with the envy that in order for something to be good for me, I must leave Haiti. That's the idea that I need to cut. You can live in your own country and make a living in your own country, and that's how you build up your country. No. To begin with, you need the help of someone. That's why if there is anybody who have the skills and who can volunteer to teach, to mentor, to guide, this person will be more than welcome to come and to teach. I in the orphanage, I did not tell you, but my teacher was a Canadian from Alberta. And she was my private teacher, and she spoke French. Unfortunately, she died into an accident. Sister Lila, I don't know, Michael, if you remember Sister Lila. And she died in an accident, but she went there and taught me. You know, you can go there, and I know among you there is a lot of people with lots of skills. We need that, because right now the skills, we don't have all the skills. And or if we, in Haiti we have some, but it costs a lot to have those people to do it. But we need people now. It will be a mixed team, Haitian and other people who knows the skill, who can teach it to the kids. And that's why we're teaching them English, so they can understand you when you come. That means I bank on you. Are you coming? Yes? Right now, what we can offer this person woman board. You don't have to pay for your womb. You don't have to pay for what we have. But quite honestly, we might not have like the finance right now to say that we would cover everything. But at least we know, and in Go Haiti, we say that we can give you, we can pay for the ticket to go and ticket to leave, and we can provide room and board right now. When I say room and board, we have a law in the orphanage. Either a visiting missionary or myself, we eat the same thing that the kids eat. That means that you will eat what the kids eat, and you will sleep in the place that we have. That's what we have. But when we have the guest house, we will be able to provide a much better place. But in terms of personal support, we require, if you're going, if you can get raise support for some specific need, because we don't want to promise you things that we don't have. Amen. And okay. It depends. The last two experiences that we had was not too helpful. Yes, and we realized the children was a serious distraction. However, there was one family from Connecticut. They came with their child, and it was a blessing. And because the child was not a burden, as a matter of fact, the child helped the parent to carry on the duty. It depends the age of the child, okay? And it depends if it's a child with special needs or not, and that can be a real concern. It is a case-by-case situation. If you contact my public relationship agent in the website or with Cheryl, we will be able to work it out and consider it personally. Right now, the youngest is 6 months old, and we have Cleveland's Evans. He's 17, because we did not take all of them at the same age. Yes. Right now, no, every medical person going, they work under my license. They work under my license. If it's a short period of time, I basically cover you for this week or two that you're spending. But if you come for longer than that, and you would be willing to spend an extended time in Haiti, then I can guide you through the system to have a temporary permit to do the job that you need to do. But if it's a week or so, it's not a problem. I organize to get you under my license in Haiti. And that's why in our website, we require some credentials to know whom I'm covering, because it can create some problem. But I have never find anybody creating me problems so far. That means I would be more than happy if you want to come, my brother. We would work it out, and then it would be fine. Yes. No, not a work visa, as tourist. No visa required for Canadian or American, no. You just need your passport. Yes? The Bible says that here I'm sending you as a sheep among wolves. Doing mission in itself is a risky endeavor. We in Go Haiti, we do everything we can to provide the safety. But God ultimately is the one watching you. We make sure that we have security guards there. It's a third world country. It's Haiti, okay? But I have never had any problem. I grew up in the orphanage with mom workmen, and now we have this place. We have never had any major problem that would threat the security of a missionary. But can I stand here and give you guarantee with 100% that nothing will happen? I cannot. What we can do is to do the best that we can and to provide you the best condition. But prayer, fasting, wisdom, and discernment are all required. And that's why we, after 6 p.m., we said, you know, we should be in the compound. We do not travel in dark time. We travel in team. And then we make sure that we don't have a good vehicle yet. We're working on it. We have something that every day we pray over it. We pray over it. And so far, so good. Prayer works. Amen. We do the best that we can to provide you the best security. We are also in a good neighborhood. We're not too far from the American embassy. We're not too far from the UN base. But I find out that the best safety is the people in the neighborhood around you. The best safety, because they see this ministry is for them and they can identify with them. They can stand and fight for you. This is the best safety I find out.
How many people?
Okay. I get my colleagues in Haiti to cover them with no problem at all. Dentist or doctor, I take care of the medical part, and it is not a problem. As a matter of fact, there is a friend of mine from Fort Myers, and he has promised two dental chairs, well equipped, in very good condition. Maybe by the time we have the group of dentists coming from here, we will have already the clinic waiting for them. And the people will be there waiting for them. Amen. And it's going to be a blessing because we have people for all their life that have never seen a dentist. So the dentistry part will be a blessing. So we have one last question. Someone has raised their hand. Okay. Right now we have a list of projects that we have classified by priority. Now our fence has been destroyed, and since the earthquake, and it is in the number one list that we would like to build. And also, we have the house that we would like to repair. The medical is also one of the urgent need that we have. So it depends on how many people we find according to their skills, we put them together. If I can have like three medical person in a team, and out of 10 people, the three medical person plus myself, we can help the clinic. And then the other part of the people can be doing something. We can pick up one project that we can do. And there is electrical to be done. There is work in the house to be done, and there is a computer that you can do and help. There is a list of projects when you go to the website and you can see what you can do, or you call and we will guide you through. One thing I want you to know, you will not be there and be bored. You'll be tired. Well, thank you so much for your time and for your questions. And that's my first time here, but I feel, thank you, Pastor Mike. Wonderful. And I appreciate the time that you have set aside to welcome me. And I love your island. I love your ministry here. And I hope that in the near future, we will be able to meet either here again or in Haiti. Or maybe in heaven. Amen. God bless you. Thank you so much. Wonderful.
Thank you so much. Now, tonight we're going to have across the road, if you know medical people that would like to get involved, there will be specific for that. But I know there are visitors here, but I just really want to talk specifically to Oceanside, is because I really believe that we prayed a long time, as I said this morning, to link up with the right people. And in our hearts, we really believe that this is one of the projects that God is going to link us to. And what I don't want us to be is like a shotgun shooting all over the show, going on the website, doing your own thing, and so on. You're welcome to do that. But for us to be more like an arrow, where we come together, where we pray this through, where we seek God, where we then communicate with Dr. Franco and we work as a team. We want to send teams and we want to be effective. And so I was just thinking, you know, in Exodus 33, just Moses talking, he's leading these people and he says this, if you have pleased with me, teach me your ways so that I may know and continue to find favor with you. And we read in the beginning of Jeremiah where it says, come up to the mount of the Lord and I will show you my ways. And there's God's will. Moses starts here. I know what your will is, but now I need to know what your way is. How do you want us to do this, God? What is the way? And for us as a people, as we partner with, we want to be effective. So I'm really praying and trusting that we can start dialogue, that we can start prayer, we can start this relationship and start building teams that can be sustained over a long period of time, working with Rob and Cheryl, so that when we go there, we go as a team, ready. When we arrive, we know what we're going to do, and we can be effective from day one, instead of sort of finding out after 2 days, or what is it? How can we help you? Time is money, and like I said, in this church we have more than 10 doctors alone, a number of nurses and so on. And so if we are going to get doctors to go in the team, and we're going to ask them to give up a week or two per year of their time, we got to make sure that when we get there, everything's in place so they can do what they have to do. So we need to find out what medicine we need to bring. We need to find out what tools we need to bring. If we're going to help build something, can we raise that? Can we take that burden away? And so this is a time for us where the seed has been sown. And because, like I say, I don't think short-term mission. I'm not thinking of pictures on the wall. I'm thinking, how can we partner for generations to come, God willing? And so that's what I'm looking for, is for us to begin to pray, to begin to dialogue with Dr. Franco and through Cheryl and say, let's build these teams. Let's start praying together. There's so many things that we can do. Cheryl? Yes? Yes. Do you want to come here, Cheryl? There we are. I'm glad. So Cheryl, just come up here, please. This is how this all started with Cheryl and Rob and Deborah and myself and so on, just starting to talk these three things with some of the others that were in our home. And so Cheryl is the one that has been working with this team, knows them, so she is going to be the contact for us. And so we're going to work through her and with her in everything we do. So, yeah, like I say, I would be way more excited if we had this team dialed in and going than knowing that one's going to this project, one's going to that project, this one is doing shoeboxes, and this one's doing that. If it is, I love that idea of clothing, shoes, and gifts, but we can do that together. That can be a project for the church. I know in Africa, and I was speaking to Franco about that, we as a church used to fill containers with bicycles. And everybody's got bicycles, and we get a company to donate a container. We've got guys like David that are really good at selling stuff, so we send him there, and he gets us a free container. And then we have a whole group of people fixing bicycles, and we fill it up. Medical equipment from the doctors, leveraging drugs, leveraging from our opticians in the church, glasses and all of this kind of stuff. So we're leveraging it together, and then together we can make a radical, radical impact. And so if you would like to get involved, and it's going to say, first of all, Moses went before God. I know your will. Show us your way. It's going to be a time. Let's pray this through. Let's see what God has. Let's get wisdom, including with Franco, and then and see what his needs are, and then go back and submit it to him, our plan, because ultimately this is not our mission. We don't want to own it. He's got many other people helping him, and ultimately the decision lies with him. We don't want to tell him what to do or how to do it. We want to come alongside and maybe suggest and help him, but knowing that we want to just have an open hand in this. So if you would like to get involved, I think the first thing is for us to let Cheryl know that, and let's start praying, that God, what can we do? And if Christmas coming up, would that help if we did something like a drive for clothes and shoes and things like that? I think that's a wonderful idea, and so on. So that would be a good start, just to start that while we plan this. We will get the dates. I think really the doctors can go anytime you're there, because you are. That's a big need while we build this up. And but for the rest of us, let's get these teams together and let's go there, work ready, equipped and raring to go. And if we have to send five teams a year, or teams, one team finishes a 2-week trip and the next thing goes 2 weeks later, it doesn't matter, as long as it fits in with their plan. And we don't want this blessing to become a curse. And so what I want us to do, instead of saying that, as a body of believers, a small little church in Nanaimo, how can we together do this? And how can we come behind this man and have a major impact? And we can do that as a team way better than individuals. So,
Can I just say one thing?
No.
Please? Oh, wow, I got the mic. Okay. Just so you know, actually, three of our kids are also from the orphanage where Dr. Franco comes from. Emmanuel, he was referring to him as Mano. That is a nickname for Emmanuel. There's Emmanuel right over there. Okay, and actually he just immigrated here 2 months ago. And actually, Michael Crofton, could you please stand up? He is also from, he lives here in Nanaimo now, but he is also from CHO, so that's the Michael that Dr. Franco was talking about, okay? And our three boys aren't here tonight.
I wonder, great. No, I'm just wondering, just practically as we leave, if we shouldn't have some a sheet where people could put their name and email address, just to save a lot of that, and we can, or you can give them yours. That'll be...
What is yours? Do you mind?
Do you mind letting these people know?
Okay. It's rcterrace@shaw.ca. You're in charge of that, Robert.
RC, how'd you spell terrace?
Oh, RC and terrace is terrace@shaw.ca.
We'll get that out to you, and let's initially say, yes, we're keen, and then we can start praying and trusting God. And depending how quickly you need a team, we will work to that schedule. So if you can let us know, even maybe before you leave, And then we'll put our faith out that we can put a team together in that time to come and help you. God bless you. It's been a wonderful time. I'm just overwhelmed at the response, and I'm excited. And tomorrow night, if you have medical people that would love to come and hear how they can work with Dr. Franco, that'll be wonderful. God bless you.